No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 70 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. I'm Carmen Morales. With me, as always, the very funny Brian Folke.
Hello.
And we have a very special gay guest today, Mr. Billy Wayne Davis.
Is he a very special gay guest?
Yes, that's fine.
Did I say gay?
I heard we have a very special gay guest. Like you were trying to...
Oh. I would be if it was in me. It's not.
I just didn't know if you were doing like some bit where you'd try to sneak that in there.
I like it when people are like, are you a gay guy? And you're like, no, but that's fine. You can tell people that.
It can't hurt.
It's like, I've heard it hurts a lot.
Does it? Damn it.
It's like everything else.
Yeah.
It's practice.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Yeah, you got to put your 10,000 hours in.
My thing was like always the stubble. I understand finding like people of the same sex attractive. That's always like, I understand that. That's the thing.
Not very confusing.
But like even like in those times where you're like, am I gay? And like anytime I've kissed a dude, I'm like, I can't. It's just your hurts. We're gross. I am fascinated when women look at us and be like, that's a hot dude. And you're like, we're not. How can you tell? And like I can tell like what I find attractive in a man is usually feminine features. So right, like, I see what I like.
Yeah. You got a little bitch in you. I like that really about you. That's my favorite part about you.
Yeah. I like ladies. It's real deep in there.
This podcast is sponsored by Brondell Bidets. Do you have to poop?
Well, it's not just just bidets.
Bidet. You do?
Mm-hmm.
You have a bidet?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I've been a bidet fan since, 12 years ago? 12, 13 years ago?
Hell yeah, you're ahead of the curve because it's just starting to be, like, really be marketed to
Americans.
The States. Yeah,
no,
to Americans.
It needs to be because it makes total sense.
It's the best thing
it's
ever.
It's very functional. It makes, like, just wiping paper down there. To me, it's like, that's obvious. Like, did one of the Hearst also...
Right, the newspaper giants, paper giants.
Yeah, were they also behind toilet paper? Because they got rid of cannabis and hemp because they own the paper mills.
Right.
Right.
And hemp is like a better paper and all that stuff.
Sure.
And then they own the paper so they can tell everybody how bad it is. I'm just like, my thought was like, oh, so they probably, someone came in with the bidets and the Hearst people were like, no. Okay, we're going to use the marijuana system on this, too. So let's get everybody on board with this. This is the way to do it.
Yeah, let's tell them it's European and it'll make them gay if they use a bidet.
Yesterday, I was hanging out with Andrew, who used to produce this thing for a minute.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, some guys told me yesterday that I walk like I have to shit all the time. Have you noticed that I walk like I have to shit? And I was like, I know what you need. You need a bidet. And if you go to Brondell.com, you get 20% off using promo code no sir. He's like, I can't even fucking talk to you anymore.
I think that's a solid question. Answer to that weird question.
Yes.
Does it look like I have to shit? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you?
Are you not wiping right?
Yeah.
It seems like a... Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should get a bidet. I told him just get the travel one.
Yeah, that's all you need. Because I had somebody else that's like, he's living out of his van or something. And he was like, oh, I don't have a toilet to put it on. And I was like, dude, you get the travel one. You could make any toilet. You could clean your butt in any toilet. And you don't need to. They have one where you could just put like a 2 liter water bottle on it. You just screw it in. And then you got your own bidet. On any toilet. So if you could be on the road. Because that's the other thing that's happened with Brian is he left and we got some really cush ass ones. Like Brondell hooked us up with really nice ones and you don't use it and it's not nice.
I feel dirty. I got used to the one I have in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to say what brand is because you guys have your own thing.
We appreciate that.
But there is that, like when I was just in New Orleans and I noticed one day it was like, oh, yeah, it's because my butthole's not as clean as it is.
I was thinking how much nicer the average like interaction between people would be if they were a little cleaner.
Oh, I do think for sure.
It definitely changes your mood.
Yeah. No, if you have to itch your butt hole all day, you're just like, you're consumed with that thought.
Yeah.
That's it's usually because you haven't wiped well.
Right. Or you're in public too and you can't actually scratch it or something. I don't know. It could be some, if you're at the office or something and you just can't.
But an itch is never about the scratch. It's about the, you need to clean it.
Yeah.
No, that's without a doubt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Since I've had a bidet, my butthole has not itched.
Yeah.
And if it's if it is right, there's something wrong. It's great.
No, we were talking about, yeah, I was doing a weekend in Madison at Comedy on Stage.
Yeah.
And it's, they put you up in the beautiful hotel. It's a great place. And I was like, could use a bidet.
No, that's, yeah.
I was a little.
I feel like, why don't the fancy ones have a bidet?
This is why I don't introduce.
The first place I used a bidet at.
Where was it?
It's a crazy story. It was one of my first long road gigs. Mm-hmm. So Ralphie May was like, come down to Miami. We're going to do this 3-week run. It was the Mutiny Hotel, and it's in Cocaine Cowboys, in Cocaine Cowboys 2.
Hell yeah.
I met, it looks like the, it's like a condo in this part of Miami where you're like, my first thought was like, cocaine built this.
Yeah.
This building, and then come to find out I was
a lot of white.
Totally right. Yeah. Yeah. Like black appliances.
Were you just watching Cocaine Cowboys and you're like, holy shit, there it is?
Yeah, no, like when I watched it years later when it came out and it was like in the Mutiny Hotel, I was like, I knew it. I mean, literally, like
my drug spidey senses were going off.
It was like, and then there was a bidet, and I was like, I'm gonna use that thing. I know what that is. I've never used one, and I used it and cleaned myself before I went to the bathroom. And I was like, why aren't we using as a nation? This makes so much more sense. And I was just like, and this is definitely like a cocaine place. And then I went down to the pool. And the only other person, I was in the hot tub, the only other person, I was like, I know who that guy is. Is he a comic? And it hit me. I was like, oh, it's Lou Diamond Phillips.
Whoa. La Bamba.
Yeah, having an argument, like an ugly argument with this blonde lady. And I was just like, this is the most Miami. Like, Miami is Miami.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Lou exactly Diamond. Like they said it is.
Yeah. It was just like, this
Lou
is
Diamond
crazy.
They got bidets, cocaine hotels, and Lou Diamond Phillips.
The first time I ever saw a bidet was in Crocodile Dundee when he comes to New York, and he's put up in the Waldorf Astoria, and then he was like, is it a boot cleaner? And he was like trying to clean his boots in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but the first time I ever actually used it was at another comic's house. It was Mike Baldwin. I was at his house. Yeah. I was at his house, and I was like, what the fuck?
He doesn't seem like he'd have a bidet.
I know, he totally is a bidet guy. And he said it was a game changer. And
he needs an iron.
And he had an old school one. You just have like a little dial.
I just started ironing my clothes. Pretty proud of it.
That's the thing, I don't think he does own an iron, but he owns a bidet. And at least he's got his priority right.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, he's more about the inside than the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
I was emotionally against ironing because I was in the military. And I had to iron.
Yeah.
And I was
so you're like fuck that.
Every iron I see, I want to throw into the trash. I'm finally okay with it again.
It works.
Yeah, it does.
People like treat you better.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
It's like that. I fought that, like, don't dress up. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'll just wear my clothes because it's more of who I am on stage. And somebody's like, just get a nice version of all your clothes. And just wear those on stage. And I finally did that. And the difference it made immediately was just one of those things like, oh, okay. Because, you like pay money. I get it. Like, as you get older, you're like, yeah, I don't want to pay $25
to see a guy in sweatpants.
Raggy ass motherfucker.
Yeah, you got to be Joey Diaz level.
He wore a button up.
Last time I saw him, it was sweatpants, fanny pack.
But that's Joey.
On a road gig. When he's like performing, he looks nice. He's not wearing sweatpants.
You should get on his Instagram.
Really?
I think there are always anomalies. And I don't think the people we're talking about have the talent.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's like one of the greatest living comics.
Yeah. That's like, there's like.
He can walk out naked.
You have to be that.
Wearing a barrel.
The funniest people on the planet.
Yeah. The last time.
That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my point. I need an iron.
Most people that get out of federal prison can't go on and become a fucking comedy star. Yeah. So we're talking about these are important
things to pay attention to.
Yes.
The outliers.
Yeah, be aware of who you're emulating. I think is the point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're looking at Joey Diaz as a role model, it's just quit comedy.
Yeah. Well, I used to tell like kids that too. Like I want to be like Stanhope. Like, no. Your parents loved you in a way that his never could.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can't be him.
Mm-mm.
You can't be happy in Bisbee, Arizona.
Yeah.
Doug Stanhope can't.
Yeah.
So be yourself. And you just see him like, oh, no. And you're like, yeah, you're not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's because your mom and dad still call you every week. Kind of shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, they give a shit and if you're dead.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's okay that you don't have to be constantly picking at society to make you feel whole. That's good.
I was texting a comedian friend of mine today because we're doing a comedy festival in Jacksonville, and my family's in Florida now, and I was like, oh, I'm excited. I'm going to run over and see my family because it's around my birthday. And he was like, oh, that sounds awful. And I was like, I'm one of three comedians who loves their family.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I talk about it on stage where it's just like, and I think it is like an ethnicity thing maybe or a cultural thing, but it's always class. Ever been like white people always hate their it's family.
Class.
Huh?
It's class.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Because I come from poor people.
Poor whites are close.
Like, yeah.
I'm like in my hometown, you wouldn't consider us poor.
Oh, yeah, me either.
But, like, in the whole grand scheme of things, it was, like, when I left, it was, like, oh, yeah, no, we don't have
Yeah, you go to L.A. Okay. and you're, like, whoa. Oh,
we don't have money.
Yeah.
But it was, like, when I started going to therapy the last couple months, because I got insurance.
it's this
funny thing where it was, like, oh, that's, like, rich people just pay somebody to listen to them. And they can work out their problems that way, where poor people have to
fight with their family.
Yeah, or talk or have a friend or like they can't afford, they just have to depend on other people to be just at least listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't even have that on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this weird, yeah. I think it's more about class than ethic. And that's the thing I preach about. Politics more anybody's like, oh, you're progressive. I'm like, no, I'm probably not when it comes down to it. But I don't think those are political issues, treating human beings
right
as the same. Like, weird thing they've made political that I don't understand.
Yeah. Decency, common decency is now is policy.
It's like a policy. Yeah, yeah. Where it's like I've always considered myself somewhere in the middle, and I think because of my accent and my name that I'm not just be like burn all the colored.
People are
like, he is crazy progressive.
I lived in Georgia for half my life.
Yeah.
And just meeting you, hearing your accent and seeing how you dressed, I pushed you way the other side. I was like, I heard your accent and the way you dressed. I was like, oh, this guy must be mega left.
Oh, really?
Because of the South. I grew up in the South and like I was a punk in the South and like, and when I meet people with Southern accents who don't look a certain way and they also got out.
Oh yeah,
I assume.
Because you have working knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes, that's totally different.
Yeah, I put you in the exact opposite category. So the middle is still surprising to me
because most people don't know that we exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know. No people like, and they're like, "Well, what are you conservative about?" I'm like, "Just finance," because numbers have been the same since the jump, so they can't change. So conservatively, we need to be conservative when it comes to numbers,
right?
Because they don't fucking change.
Yeah.
Now social policies, they will ebb and flow because of human nature,
right?
And I'm okay with that. Like, do I think everyone deserves money at this point? I don't think it's about money as much as like everyone deserves
the opportunity to make money,
food and shelter.
Yeah.
Where that's they're disguising what we're talking about by changing. And I think we're talking about 10 things I don't like. This is the things I don't like. The things that where they make things that shouldn't be political issues political.
Like, give me an example.
Abortion. I mean, it's come out that during Nixon's shit, the Republican Party was like, they just realized like this is a good thing politically to mix. They'd already decided left and right were like, yeah, it's fine. It's up to the woman.
Right.
The whole country, it wasn't an issue until they made it a political issue, and now it divides us in half. which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
It really does, because that's the other thing too, is there's been people that are right wing that I've had conversations with and stuff, and they really deep down, when you like sit down with them face to face and ask them if you were in that situation, and they'd be like, yeah, it's fine.
Wait, but I thought, you know, Nixon,
it's fine.
I remember Nixon, I thought, was on the Nixon tapes. One of the things he was quoted as saying was that he was only pro-abortion for rape, incest, and interracial babies.
But I'm not saying like Nixon, his strategy. I'm saying,
you mean his campaign?
I'm saying the Republican parties. It was like a think tank that came up with it. Oh, I forget exactly which one, but it was
that
around
was when
the
it
time.
Became like a ticket issue.
Yes. Yeah. When they were just like, we're trying to find, and what it was like, you know, when they figured out black people smoke marijuana so they can mm-hmm. control the vote through that stuff. And
right.
then people were like, they want to think a lot of it is more diabolical and calculated, when it's a lot of it is opportunistic.
Yeah. It's like gameplay. It's strategy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, oh, they've already made that illegal, and we noticed that we can control this block mm-hmm. with this, so we'll do this and this. Like, it's not as, I mean, it is systemic, but not as diabolical. It's more opportunistic, like human beings, mm-hmm. like our course. Friends were like, you can look at your friend and be like, he's not a bad person, he was just put in that situation,
right?
Or she's not terrible, it was just that thing, and then they mm-hmm. made that, and that's what is happening at these levels.
Yeah.
And it's just more grandiose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't believe in conspiracy theories and things like that until I was in a fraternity in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and realized, like, these alumni were business leaders in the community. Some of them were fucking lawyers. Some of them were judges. Mm-hmm. Some were in the... And they would meet and make things like that. And I was like, oh, if these redneck dickheads yeah. are doing it, people with real power are doing
and real
this.
Money can yes, do it. Yeah.
They are. And why wouldn't they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Where they're going to be like, oh, you have connections, but even though I know you, I can't talk to you. It's yeah. not going to happen.
Yeah. Or we grew up. Yeah. And like, yeah. it's like, I'm going to make for sure my son goes to like a private high school, like one of those well-to-do ones, because I know my friends that went to them, even the fuck-ups.
Yeah.
At those schools are good to go for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're set up.
They're going to have $100,000 to $200,000 a year job mm-hmm. because of who their peers were. Well, that's a good investment for me.
Yeah.
That my son can be the biggest fuck up at the fucking school. I'm like, yeah, he's still fine. I don't care. He's still.
Yeah, I don't got to worry about him.
He's going to end up where most people in public school want to end up.
Right.
If they don't fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ending up in a place people are trying to get to.
Or scratching and clawing, and mm-hmm. will become in debt to get to that position.
Mm-hmm.
So their families can start this thing.
People do that right at the gate. Like, I used to work at a preschool that costs $10,000 a year
yeah.
to send your kid to. Mm-hmm. And these people are like not billionaires, mm-mm. but they're like, they think that way all the way from the beginning. Like, my kid is getting the biggest head start possible.
Mm-hmm. Networking.
Yeah, networking, being in that world. Just, yeah, it's pretty crazy, though, how, like, I have a friend who's...
Just knowing how to navigate
yeah.
the world is what that education... That's what I realized.
Exactly. Yeah,
that
yeah.
It was like, it's not how hard the school is or the teachers mm-hmm. that they're teaching, because you can get all that information. Mm-hmm. I'm smarter than... I know more stuff than most of my friends that went to private school.
Mm-hmm.
But what they had that I didn't realize was they knew how to navigate and talk to these other rich people.
Right.
And that is what they're...
Chappelle talks about that all the time. He's like, I know how to talk the game, baby. Mm-hmm. That's what he says all the time. Like,
yeah.
He's like, I know. You put me in a room with anybody, I know how to talk to them.
That's what I figured out at Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's a lot of just lingo and that stuff. Or the audacity to ask for that much money to create something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, if you come from, like, a poor background, you wouldn't consider... That never crosses your mind to ask for that much money for something that silly.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Because, yeah, when it comes
down to... It makes 100%.
To,
like, yeah. that you serious still, story
yeah.
I told you.
Yeah. And then you're like... But if you come from that world, you're like, well, then no, you just go ask this person. They got a bunch of money, and then they yeah. can do this thing and this thing and this thing.
Yeah.
It's like my wife... fiance, whatever.
One of those things.
She doesn't come from money. Grandfather was an architect, but they didn't come from money, so they have some, but her dad's side has none. But so she got a scholarship to go to a nice private school. Mm-hmm. So she understands the language, but she also understands what it's like to come.
So from, that's like a really nice duality. She's a superhero. Yeah,
it is like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so she knows how to navigate certain things. And then with like our powers combined, it's like really fun to look at the world and stuff because like,
right.
I've had access to all this stuff from a weird point of view.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then she knows how to navigate these waters and the language. And we both have a command on the English language so we can learn lingo and stuff like that.
Right.
And if you learn anything, it's like, you can speak the lingo, you can keep a job for a long time. You don't have to be good at it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about showbiz. I'm just talking about
any job. Yeah.
Any job.
Of course.
Just like any, like when I lived in Seattle, just hearing those Microsoft people, this is a pet peeve. This is, it all ties together. When they give everything acronyms,
mm-hmm.
and they shorten everything. Oh,
I know.
Or shorten stuff that doesn't need to be short.
That's how the military is too. It's mind-numbing. Yeah. It's mind-numbing.
I can't stand it when people talk in acronyms.
Yes.
When it just, mm-hmm. when it becomes like, it's like, you're really, we're here. We're not, you're not shortening information because you have so much information that I need to digest that you're shortening it. I'm right here. Mm-hmm. We're having an actual conversation. You don't have to give me a bunch of fucking letters.
Yeah. Like there was an open mic called Pegasus Pizza. It's in Kirkland. It may be still going on. It's going on forever. Like Hedberg used to go do it, like that one of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Kirkland, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's this Pegasus Pizza. It's mm-hmm. on Wednesdays. And there was this dude who worked for Microsoft, like middle aged, and he's like, "You going to Peg?" And like I kept hearing him say that, and finally I was like, "Is that like a new show? What's he talking about?" And they're like, "Oh, he's saying Pegasus," and I was like, "Oh, I hate him. I hate." Pegasus to Peg. It's like, there's no reason.
Say Pegasus.
Yeah.
You today, you texted me, and Carmen had been writing bookers all day.
Yeah.
And so she texted me the most informal, like we don't know each other at all text about, like, confirming today for two. And I was like, shut up. Yeah. Like, shut up.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was talking to you like I didn't care about you at all.
I hope this finds you well.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need the caring. I just need the familiarity.
Yeah.
And knowing how to talk to each booker's weird. Yeah. Where some of them are like, why are you talking to me so formally? And you're like, because most of them, if you don't, okay.
It's supposed to be a sign of, cause, and that's the other thing is some of them, it's follow, figuring out that line too. Cause there's some of them I can be very informal with and they appreciate that. Cause you know, a lot of times there's bookers who a comedy adjacent because they like it so much and they want to feel cool. So if you speak informally, then they get a sense of, oh shit,
this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah. I'm cool too. And then there's also other ones that are way more business minded, a way more like bottom line. And they want a level of professionalism.
Yeah, like, I don't
want
to know you as a human being.
No, I could give a fuck about you as a human being.
And I actually prefer that in this business for whatever reason. It's like somebody's like, what can you, I'm like this and this, and then can we do this, and they're like, yep. Mm-hmm. Instead of
what's up,
you're like, hey. Like there were, and I love what we do so much that I'll just start crying about stuff that I don't even realize. But there are there are parts of it where like there's power positions in comedy and entertainment that people get a hold of that it's just one of those things where it's like, do they realize they're not cool?
We talk about this so much.
Not on the podcast, but off
like
the podcast.
They don't, like, it just cracks me up. It's like, do they not put the two and two together? Like, do they think in their head, like, holy shit, I just got really cool. All these cool people are really nice to me. Like, it's all my shit's finally coming together.
Right.
Like, I feel like some of them don't put it together. And that's what they think is like, I knew it. I knew I was always cool and all these people.
Yeah.
And then some of them do realize like, oh,
they want something from me. Okay. Okay.
And that's why I try, like, I'm sure it's cost me stuff, but it's like, I don't kiss ass well.
Oh, right.
It's like, I just usually be like, yo, I'm good at this. Can I get on the thing? And then you can see them. They're like, why are you talking to me? Just like we're equal or something, you know, like, why aren't you,
that's been,
why isn't there sugar on what you're saying?
Right.
You're like, oh, I don't do sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not.
Mm-hmm. But I think straight talking has actually benefited me.
Me too. Yes.
You know, because I mean, that's kind of what happened in the position that I'm in with the comedy store is I straight talked him. I was like, one of the first conversations I had with him, with the booker there, is I was like, I'm not gonna bother you. I'm not gonna do any of that. I just need to know where I stand, so I know how often I need to talk to you, or if I need to impress you, or what. Just tell me what my steps are, and then I'll abide by those steps, and I don't need to fucking do the, oh, hey, dude, like, hey.
I was talking to a very young comic about this recently, about specifically about the store, and she was crying, literally crying, because she had a bad set in front of Adam. And one of the things I was trying to tell her two things. First of all, there are people like yourself who have been a professional, who's been doing it a long time, who there isn't room for yet. So first of all, realize how low of a priority you are. That's the first thing you need to do. Second thing is they all come and go. So if you're trying to cater and impress,
you gotta do your shit.
Yeah, just there's do people it for that yourself.
Used to suck, you know, like figuratively suck Tommy's dick just to work there, that aren't working there now. Like, just because you put all of your eggs,
their name is on that wall, and they're not working there. Because
you built a set around one person who's temporary instead of yourself.
That happens in these like cities where people don't leave.
Yep.
Oh yeah. The big fish in the small pond.
Or they just don't have a concept of what. This bigger picture of what comedy really is.
Yeah.
And who, and like what it can and can't be. They get this very singular, like, this is, you do this, you impress this person.
You get on an island.
Yes. Yeah. And then my career set. And you're like, well, it can be.
It's never set, really, though. You need to think like that.
No, unless you get on a sitcom that gets on for 10 years.
Sure.
And then it's set in a
one particular way too.
That's what I mean. But it is set in that you will make money your whole life because you're famous. Now, if you want that, that's a lot of people do. It's fucking great. You can print a fucking check and then you can go play casinos until you die.
Yep.
I'm not knocking that, but as someone that just likes stand up because you get to go up and say whatever the fuck you want.
Because it's the only place you can really be free.
Yes. And people are like, oh, they're trying to ruin comedy. They're never going to ruin comedy until they make it illegal.
Yeah.
People can go in and be like, I don't like what you're saying. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't. Then leave.
Yeah.
Or sit there. Or I can go back and forth with you. Well, they're saying you can't say these jokes. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
There's plenty of other places. They don't find that
funny. Mm-hmm. You do. So who gives a shit what they find? Yeah,
comedy existed before Netflix. It'll exist after it.
It just changes.
Yeah.
It just changes.
People get so precious because they get lost in the big picture, though. I do think that sometimes when you think too big, you get lost, and you do need a little bit of a short. Because if you look too big, you'll drown.
Every time. Yeah. We're just like, how are they successful? Who gives a shit?
So what else don't you like?
I mean, there's not a lot like where it's like I just consciously I'm like, I don't like that or I don't like this. It's more behavior based, and a lack of politeness is probably my main pet peeve, is what the thing that, if I think about like what irritates me the most every day, it's people.
Is it because you're a nice Southern boy? Is that why?
I think it's old school politeness. Yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing. Like when I moved to Seattle, I've never been west of Texas, and then I went to Seattle, and one of the first things I noticed was like it's still segregated there.
Oh, for sure, Georgetown.
And all that, and like the Central District is where the black people are, and then I lived in Rainier Beach, which was like Jewish people and black people. And it was like, I was like, oh, okay, this is some horse shit. Yeah, there's some problems in the South, but we live amongst each other.
Yep.
And it is very open in the South. And I think that civility and that politeness that is there, because everyone has manners and there is a, above anything else, above all our differences, there has to be a politeness, because that's another human being you're talking to who is also struggling. I think that's where politeness comes from me, and manners is what that is saying when you're like after you, or what do you have to say, or any of that is a subtle sign of respect to say you're another human being.
Right.
I might not necessarily agree with anything you stand for or what you do, but you are another human being I'm sharing this space with. And that's where the South, that's the probably my favorite part of the South, is the South is deeply, deeply flawed, but is very, for the most part, open about who it is, where a lot of the rest of the country is not open about who it is.
Right.
And that's, that's I think, a huge pet peeve. And that's where that politeness comes from, is like, we're other human beings.
Yeah.
Like, and there is a certain, like, what in New, people can argue, like, in New York, you don't have time. But, like, there is a politeness in New York that is different.
It's just a stern, assertive, like, it's,
I respect it's, you enough to get the
to
fuck
leave the out of your way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because we're all trying to get through this fucking nightmare that we're in.
Yes.
And just get out of the way. I don't, I'm not mad at you. I just, fuck you, go.
Go, yeah.
The first time I told a guy to fuck off in New York, and he told me to fuck off, and we smiled at each other and got on, I was like, I like the city.
Yeah.
Like, that was a respectful way to, like, that wasn't disrespect.
Right.
We weren't wasting each other's time.
It's disrespectful to not know what you're going to order when you get to the cashier.
That is dis-fucking respectful there, because everybody else is behind you.
Yes.
Here, people just,
Oh, my God.
Here, it's just much more selfish. Even the lack of politeness is not about time saving or anything. It's about up your own fucking ass here. People, watch people crossing the crosswalk.
Oh, my God. I have to ride the train right now because my car is destroyed. And riding the subway in L.A. is one of the most frustrating. I want to fly every one of those motherfuckers to New York and give them a week of riding the train in New York.
Yeah.
They just stand right in front of the door opens. They just stand right there.
It's
don't let people out.
You should punch somebody in the face who's blocking the door. The train's wide open.
Yes.
Wide open.
Nobody's pushing them from behind to get on the fucking train. No.
This is where I want to be.
This is where the door is. I'll be first because of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lack of humanity and a lack of understanding that we're all in this together.
I feel like this city also cultivates that kind of mentality because it's very, it's very me-centric. You're working on your career, and it's like you are doing this and like all the work you need to do. So it's like very...
But the other
it's
people
almost like self-feeding, huh?
The
people who aren't in the industry at all act that way here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the fucking sunshine, dude.
There's no weather. There is a no weather to it. And then everything else, I think you're both on to something. The weather has something to do with it. When there's no time to reflect on your behavior or anything, it's just like, I feel good again today, no matter what happened. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas like if it's sunny, or I mean if it's cloudy and you don't have to go out and like you're just more inward, you're like, I shouldn't have done some of that shit. That was like fucking rude to that person. But instead, you just wake up and you're like, oh shit, it's sunny. You want to go like walk or something? This is fine. Yeah. I may have punched a homeless person yesterday, but who cares? It's fun.
It's
I feel
beautiful.
Good today. Yeah. I feel fine. And then you're inundated everywhere you go in LA. It was like, look how pretty I am. Look how much money I have. Look at this.
Yep.
So people are, it's more capitalistic here than other societies.
It's vicious.
It's the most capitalistic of any other place, I think, in the country.
I think that's why the rest of the country hates California so much. San Francisco.
San Francisco's changed in the last 6 years in a way that I found frightening.
So normally, I lived my entire adult life in the Bay Area.
Ah.
And that's where I started comedy.
So you've watched it change.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Watched it change viciously. But then another thing I was going to say, though, I moved there from Georgia, and everybody's like, oh, I bet you're glad to get out of the South kind of attitude, like racist South. But I moved to Oakland. And the fact that Oakland was the way Oakland is the most, now it's like hip and all that shit. But when I moved there, it was the most neglected, violent place I'd ever seen. And I've been to other countries.
Yeah.
It was insane. I was like, Oakland is one of the most racist things I've ever seen in my life. The neighborhood of West Oakland is surrounded by a port, which means 18-wheelers are coming in and out. They have higher asthma rates than any other neighborhood in all of California. It's a water treatment facility, a port, a railroad, and then a freeway. It's boxed in with pollution. It's the most environmentally racist thing I've ever seen in my life. And they're all telling me where I come from is wrong and backwards and stupid. Oh, I would get so fucking mad. I was like, this city is Jim Crow. This is a Jim Crow law looking city.
It's the whole, yes.
Yeah, Oakland looks like it was designed by Jim Crow himself.
And look at the international, they call it, that's what cracked me up.
Mm-hmm.
In Seattle, they renamed Chinatown the International District.
Oh, to be friendlier?
It was the white people that did it because the place I went to go get dim sum still called it Chinatown, the two Chinese families that ran
that's
it.
Also,
it was like, no, this is Chinatown. This white people called it International District. And I was like,
International District has no charm.
But that's also insulting,
too. Chinese people, what they call their area of town is racist. is what white people, like, what
it also gets to take
Seattle.
Shit away from Chinese people from having a part of
first,
town.
Exactly. It was the only part they were so allowed to rent
in
the beginning.
And so now we can put all the Asian people or all international people in this district. It's Seattle is, it's people with money who think they're fucking progressive.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that that money has made them, like, there's two floating bridges in Seattle. Mm-hmm. One of them, and this happened while I was there, the one that leads to Medina, which is where Bill Gates and that one has a toll now, and the other one doesn't. There's only two ways to get across Lake Washington from Seattle into mainland Washington, pretty much.
Right.
And it's the two floating bridges, the 90 and the 504 or something like that. I'm sure I got the number wrong. But the one that goes into the rich people place, that costs money to go on that.
Yep.
One. And then, so they just, all poor people have to go on I-90 now.
The toll,
it's like $3 to go over that bridge every time. Yeah. So what they did was, it's like decriminalizing marijuana. I always put that up there too. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm like, hey, you guys, I was just in New Orleans. I was like, you guys just decriminalized marijuana. And everybody's like, yeah. And I'm like, you guys know what that means. It means it's legal for rich people, but it's still illegal for fucking poor people. It's going to cost you in there. And you just see people be like, didn't think of it like that. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, it'll still be a parole violation.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'll still go to jail, even if you're parole.
It still costs you $100, where that's a larger percentage of your income than a fucking rich person who's just like, how much is it? Do you want it now or do you want me to pay it later?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to put this out.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bay Bridge costs money to go into San Francisco and it's free to get into Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Seattle. Yeah. It's free. Actually, no, Bremerton does this. Bremerton, which is where my friend Owen grew up. It costs money to go to Bremerton. It's free to go to Seattle because he's like, get those people out of fucking.
Get them out of here.
Get them going to fucking Seattle.
And now Oakland is filled with people who have raised the rent in a crazy amount are also really mad at the techies. They hate the techies so much. The techies are changing this neighborhood while they're changing their neighborhood. It's just a fuck. Mm-hmm.
We were
in Atlanta in October. Carmen and I did a tour and we were in Atlanta in October and it felt so nice. It felt, I wish.
Atlanta's special.
I want to move back. That's where I grew up, like right the suburbs of it.
Well, I was trying to tell, and I talk about when I go there, is like, when I started going to Atlanta, I didn't like it. I dated a girl.
Hated it when I lived there too.
I dated a girl from Cobb County, who, she was great. You know, we broke up because that happens. But what I knew of Atlanta was like that northern suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Atlanta itself, going there is like, you just didn't go into Atlanta. It wasn't safe for a long time. And that's what I was trying to tell these kids in Atlanta. I was like, yo, when I started going here, Little Five Points was the only cool part of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And if you walked any direction, two or three blocks, you were in an episode of The Wire.
I could tell you some stories.
Yes. And I get like, you can tell, and like old black people were like, tell it. Tell it.
Yeah.
And I was like, but Atlanta, what has happened is all the awful people have moved to Cobb County and all their cool kids and all these people from around the South are coming back to Atlanta and making it a cool place again.
But it's still extremely diverse.
Yes.
There's
Aaron and I, my girlfriend and I, started, we were talking, I was like, I love 2 Chainz.
Sure.
Everybody's got their thing.
I love a certain type of music and it's just bare bones country music. It's bare bones rock and roll. It's a blues. It's rap. It's like this, it's a very similar style, just in different ways
genres
that make the noises.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 Chainz is, I think, also brilliant. At the end of one of his songs, he's like, people just come down to Atlanta and they never leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I think about that too. Mm-hmm. Like, as a black person, can you imagine growing up around this country in these shitty fucking neighborhoods, the way it is, you're just seeing nothing, and then going to Atlanta and being like, oh, we can just live.
Yeah,
there's different classes. There's fucking middle class black people. Yeah. There's rich black people. Yeah. This is, I ain't fucking leaving.
There's an entire hierarchy of human beings.
Like, it gives me chills to think about, because it's like people don't think about it. And like Aaron, she's always just like, I love Atlanta. It's home of the worst white people and the coolest black people in the world. And I was like, that is so accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's starting to get like this cool international. It truly is becoming the Athens of the South.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this Nashville wants to be, but it's never going to be because of old fucking Music Row and old money.
Right.
Well, you mean, yeah, that's why you still have to look at a picture of the fetus before you can abort it. It's pretty awful.
Yeah. No, Nashville's never going to be that. And it, and they put the fucking fake Parthenon there. I'm like, no, we got it. And you're like, it's still not. You can put the Parthenon there all you want.
Yeah. It doesn't make it. Fucking,
it's the culture, you stupid sons of bitches.
Yep.
But Atlanta is like, that's the...
I'd love to live there.
That's the, yeah, again. If I get a TV show or anything that's like, gets going.
Yeah, like, if you let's can be like a Nate Bargatze, where you can live wherever you want, your work is there.
Well, Nashville, I mean,
I know he chose Nashville, but I'm just saying.
It's because, like, he's from there. That's genius. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
That's where you
wanna
be.
Atlanta would be like, yeah, no, it's once I get to the point where I can live anywhere, I'll have a place. And I think I'll always have a place in LA just because it's fun. And then, you know, who doesn't want an apartment in New York City? But Atlanta is the fucking jam. You can fly anywhere you want.
The best airport. Yeah, it's so...
Plus, they have like really cool houses, and they have roads that have trees covering them, and I fucking love that.
When you fly into Atlanta, it doesn't look like a city.
No.
Because it's a
forest.
Yeah, it looks like a forest, and you're like, oh, this is dope.
Yeah.
And I make fun of it, too. I was like, I like your skyline. It's like an in-between haircut. Where you're like, hey, just... Once it fills in, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Because their skyline, it's just like there's one little bit right here, there's a little bit right here.
Little buckhead over here.
Yeah, a little bit over here. And you're like, in like 100 years, you've got designed a city well, but right now it's just like, it's we're getting there, okay?
That's how Houston is. I don't know what downtown Houston is.
Houston is totally different. Atlanta, at least there's a zoning plan. Houston, there's just no fucking zoning. So that's why you'll see a church,
house,
strip club, school, liquor club, fucking, and then a 100-story building. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Houston's like, man, if it's your land, do whatever you want, man. I like that about Houston.
Houston is one of the most confusing cities to get around.
There's a circle we've built, and other than that, just guess.
Just guess.
And if it rains at all, just stay inside. Because there's no drainage. It's going to flood.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hit water if you just take a spoon to the ground.
When that hurricane came, it was like, Houston strong. Like, you motherfuckers know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Don't act like, oh, well, there's nothing going to stop us. Like, y'all know it does that every time it rains. It just rains for longer.
I would love to. I mean, this city has been driving me crazy, and I need to do some work on how to like where I'm at. But like it is funny how you grow up, you're in the South, you study this, you know, and probably for you, my eighth grade year was the entire history was the Civil War.
Yeah.
And,
seventh grade was Tennessee history, which is basically
Civil War.
And I pointed out that the Volunteer State, well, they're like, why is it the Volunteer State? Cause when there was a war or anything, Tennessee led in volunteers for the war. And I was like, oh, it sounds like we're just a bunch of mercenaries. We're like, there's killing.
Get us in there.
Well, which side? I don't care as long as it's okay. You get paid to kill. Sounds good.
Tennessee's a Commonwealth, right?
No, that's Kentucky.
Oh, Tennessee's it is Kentucky.
State, yeah. Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia's Commonwealth. Something
yeah, else. Massachusetts, I think. I
think so.
But I was just, it's like I didn't appreciate the South. And then I ran away from the South after the military to the Bay Area. And I loved the Bay Area when I first got there because it was very different. And there's a lot of stuff I love about it. But then as you get older and you start reflecting, you realize the thing, like you put it together and I'm like, oh, the Bay Area is up its ass and Atlanta's where it's at.
Yeah.
And I just didn't appreciate it. The whole time I was like, fuck the South. I hate it.
Well, it was different.
Yeah.
Then.
Like, that is true.
Like the South was like way... It was harder to be loud about. That's one of the reasons I left.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be closeted about like your views. Well, and
being weird. It was tough being weird. I used to get beer cans thrown at me called faggot every day.
It's just, and then like, especially if you look like everyone else.
But I had mohawks and
yeah, shit. And yeah. I look and I was good at sports. And I was always like, always never, and like most comedians, you find out like in high school, I didn't have one click. I just jumped.
Yeah, jump around.
So it's because I like different types of people and I have different interests. But I wasn't, because blue collar was exploding when I first started, kind of people being like, this kid is good.
Right.
But I could tell right away, I was like, they only hear my accent and they hear my name.
That's it.
They are not listening to what I'm saying. Like, and like some of the blue collar people, like their execs and stuff, are like, hey, man, I'm like, yeah.
No, your audience isn't going to like me, dude.
You're going to put me in front of these people and they're going to be mad at me because I can't not do it because I don't pander. I just can't. And then it made me realize, like, I'm going to have to go somewhere else because this is the highest I can do here in Nashville that they're going to allow me to be able to talk and fail.
Right.
And then Seattle, like I met this woman. She's like, oh, I got a job in Seattle. You want to go? And I was like, sure. Because Hedberg had mentioned he was in Seattle.
Right.
And it was a great place to do it. And he was right. It is a great place to go get good. But it allowed me to have a different point of view and to be wrong. But they understood what comedy was.
That's what I was just praising about that Madison Club, was I did a few jokes that lost him, but they didn't tap out. They were like, I don't like this joke, but let's hear the next thing.
Yes.
They didn't cross their arms and write you off for the rest of the set just because they heard something they didn't agree with.
Yes.
And that's something you don't get in LA now very much.
Nope.
Where if they decide you're not a good person or you're not on the right side, they check out completely.
Or you have to, the trick I do in LA, you're totally right about that, is you have to fully win them over before you challenge them in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
If you don't fully win them over before you challenge them,
game over.
They're done.
Yeah.
And you're only doing 10-15 minutes at a time, so it's almost impossible to win them over. So you're like, all right, well, I'm bombing tonight, but I got to say this thing.
Yeah. That's such a good point. You have to pick whether I'm going to work on this wording or I want to make them like me.
Yeah.
In some sets, you just have to be like, all right, well, I know you're not going to like me, and I'm going to do this anyways, because this is more important than me having you like me. And I think that comes with the process of growing as a comic, because at the beginning, you just want people to like you.
Yeah.
Because I want to get better, and I only get better if people like me. And then there's got to be a point where it's like, all right, I know you like me. In a general sense,
I can make you like me
if I want to.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what do I want to say, and how do I get you to like me while saying that?
And then, if I lose you, can I get you back? That's the thing that a lot of comics don't practice. I watched, and just blessed once you realize, like, you look back 20, like Zany's was a great place for me to learn because it's a show place. It's not a club. It's an A room. They bring in big talent.
Yep.
So I got to watch these guys, and I watched Daniel Tosh one night before he was Daniel Tosh. You know, he was still like comedy.
Yep.
Comedy people were like, it was one of the first people I was like, how is this not sold out? Like, there was like 100 people there, like on Thursday. And I was like, this isn't even close to even full. What is wrong with the town? Is there something happening? They're like, no, there's not a lot of people know who Daniel is. And you're just like, how?
Yeah.
He's one of the funniest people on the planet.
Yeah.
If you know comedy, if you like comedy, how do you not? And it was like, oh, what have I done with my life?
Right.
Yep.
One of those things. This isn't.
It's not like that. It's not the way we think about it.
Yeah.
People don't think about it that way.
I watched him the first night, watched him dig a hole for the first 7 to 10 minutes in such a way that I was like, what's he doing?
Yeah, is he kamikaze? Mad? What's like, happening?
Is he drunk? He doesn't do drugs or anything. What is happening? And just seeing people like, and then it hit me. I was like, it's almost like he's doing this on purpose.
Okay.
And then.
And you just leveled
everyone up. Was on. You could see people like looking for their stuff where they're like, this isn't the guy I thought this was.
Yep.
Fuck this guy. Like, he was making them mad. Like, there were people, some there wanted to see him, that he was like, you could tell that they were like, why is he doing this to us?
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
And then within 2 minutes, had everyone back in the palm of his hand and never left him and just took him for the rest of his time in a way that I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. He's working out.
Mm-hmm.
He's so much better than anyone ever even knows.
Yep.
That he was bored.
He's playing.
He's bored. He's probably mad that this isn't like me.
Yep.
He's mad on a different level.
Because it's him.
Because it's him. He knows he's good.
Yeah,
I'm mad just because I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, just to have like that, be like, I know how to do this, and this is going to be fun. I'm going to make some of you want to leave, and then I'm going to make you all want to suck my dick. Yeah. And he did. And that's when it was like those little things where you're like, oh, this is what we're learning.
Yeah.
This is how you do it forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you keep it. Or and then you see those comics to do the same set every night. And you're like, you're going to kill someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't kill yourself, you're strangling puppies or something.
That's one of the things that I feel like is getting lost in the younger generation is like without being able to push envelopes and being comfortable making people uncomfortable, you never get to that point where you're that good, where you can manipulate an entire group of people and they're thinking about you and taking them on a complete roller coaster. I learned that from Patrice. Patrice does that all the time. He would constantly open up and say the most heinous shit and then have everybody looking around like, what the fuck are we at right now?
Yeah. Yep.
And then immediately turn it around and then everybody's completely like, oh my God, I love this guy.
Yeah.
It's an incredible thing to learn. And like, I think it gets so lost on people just because we're having less and less examples of it happening. You know what I mean?
We're in that, what they call it, late stage capitalism. Where it is like...
like it's a tumor.
It is.
It's stage four capitalism. It's
like, like any like kind of theory like that where it is like...
Yeah.
Like any theory is not going to work in pure application because it goes against human nature.
Yep.
Because not all humans are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there never will be. That's why communism won't work. Communism in theory is goddamn beautiful.
It's really good.
But yeah. It's not going to work. Because some of us are more ambitious and some of us are like, hey, I work harder than you. I should get more. Yeah, you're right. It's fucking right. Now, socialism to me is totally different than communism.
Yeah, that's why.
And that's the brilliant move that the far right has mashed them into the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because we will need some socialism soon because the pendulum is so far to capitalism that the balance is way fucking off. So we're going to need some fucking socialism. That's what the fucking New Deal was that saved our country was socialism. That's how all the fucking dams and roads were built was fucking socialism. It's not pure communism. It's socialism.
Well, and it's unfortunate that they just start saying any of the isms and like start saying that they're all basically the same. As long as if it's not capitalism, it's bad.
Well, there's no critical thought.
Mm-hmm.
There's no. Everyone wants to know, like, what's the way to do it? Like, even these young comics you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them I hear ask me, like, you see them. They're like, oh, well, I've got a checklist. I check this, I check this, I check this. Because that's what college was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what high school was. I did these things, now I'm a this. I did these things, now I'm a that.
Yep.
And they think comedy's like that. Well, I do this, this, and this, I get this. And some of them get pretty successful at it.
Yeah.
But there's
that's
a
exactly
ceiling.
What Ryan Stout was saying
on
this podcast.
But there's a ceiling to it.
Yeah.
It's like a race to middle management in comedy.
Yep.
And then they get fucking mad and bitter. Or you never hear from them again.
My dreams are middle management.
Then you're so much closer than you even are. That I'm so jealous of you. It's like,
best middle manager that's ever existed.
You're blessed with ambition. I was like, I don't know if blessed is the right word.
It's definitely cursed.
Cursed. Yeah. I'm cursed with not being like, well, it's like also that fucking Groucho thing is like, I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me. I feel that way about everything I've ever done.
Me too.
I've been on Conan, and when they put me on Conan, I just thought, well, you've ruined your show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it was like, oh, is it, like, and when I got the Third Man thing, it was like, oh, are you guys drunk? What is wrong with you? So it's just like that. Like, we all have that.
Like, the White Stripes suck now.
Yeah, it was like, oh,
I ruined the White Stripes.
Obviously something wrong with Jack. You know, I've never met him. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
it's just like... That never goes away. It's like, and I think
we were talking.
You get more content with like, you know what? I have done some things, but still, that what have I done lately? Never really goes away.
Mm-hmm.
What am I creating now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people that it does. it does go away, or they never truly had it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think that's the thing that separates, like, in a cunty sense, real comedians from people who do comedy.
Well, some people want fame.
Yeah,
that's all they want.
It's a whole different
thing. Yeah,
yeah, and you can see who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It used to bug the shit. I mean, but now it's like, oh, you're just a visitor to my world.
Yeah,
like I know and who also, the real
those
people
are tortured. The people who want fame, if you spend 5 minutes with them getting to know them, you will humanize them and have empathy for them pretty quickly.
I feel if all you want is fame, I feel sorry for those people. And
yeah, it's like, what happened?
And they don't know, and they may never know.
Mm-hmm.
But now I just tell everybody that comes to Hollywood, like, when you get rich and famous, all your problems do go away.
Yeah.
So it just feels like yeah. So just keep chasing that. And yeah. No cost.
That hole is filled right up.
Such any bullshit. Cost, like,
yep. It's a moment where you're like, yeah, I think it's when that blue check mark shows up.
Yeah. When you become verified.
Yep. Like,
I don't feel any better.
There's nothing. There's not a constant scratch at the back of my head.
That's what that whole Gary Shandling documentary is about.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
No, okay. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, that's why, yeah. It's like, it's not. I dropped my ego when I did DMT like 3 years ago, and my career and everything got so much easier and better.
I wish drugs. I mean, I've heard so many. I've done every drug under the sun.
Have you done DMT?
Of course. That's everybody in the military does it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody.
Ooh, and I haven't done it yet. I want to do it with like proper.
Didn't do anything for me last week.
I will take you to the right person.
Okay.
Yeah, because I want to do it with like a shaman, like the no, proper one. No, you don't want to. Because
there's no DMT shaman.
Yeah, there is.
No, you're talking about ayahuasca, which is what that's just a fucking scam. And I kind of talk about ayahuasca. What you're going after is DMT,
mm-hmm.
and you just like. It's more of a spiritual thing because you have to throw up shit and you have to go and someone mm-hmm. and you can charge them more money because of the experience.
But what you're always
doing
is
smoking the DMT. You could do it on this bed with that pillow over your fucking thing in 15 fucking minutes
mm-hmm.
and you can go to the fucking edge of the universe and learn everything you need to know about yourself and everything and then wake up and go about your day.
Or
you can go in the woods
kids.
And throw up a bunch.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
If you want to do the white lady thing.
Is that a white lady
it
thing?
It is a know. White person fucking bullshit.
I just see these kids doing it at like fucking music festivals and stuff like that. And I just, there's no way that they're doing it.
It's the exact
right.
perspective. We were, who's the last guest we had?
Matt McCarthy.
Yeah. No, yeah. We had Matt McCarthy on here and we were talking about, cause both of our favorite band is The Band
mm-hmm,
and we were complaining too. About Jesus Christ. Brilliant people. Yeah. We were complaining about Robbie Robertson and how he on like,
it's pretentious.
Yeah. And the ayahuasca thing fits into this cause he was talking about Native American people that he grew up around. Like they were so magical and so spiritual and that's such a fucking dehumanizing honky mm-hmm. way of looking at people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the shaman thing does too, where it's like, this person's a fucking human being with a heart who jerks off. Like they're not magical.
Oh, I don't think it's like a. I didn't think.
I'm not saying
like,
you. I'm just saying.
Right. But just to clarify, I'm not saying the shaman is the. But it's just. I don't want to do it in front of a fucking band playing like some of these kids.
No, I don't understand that. It shouldn't be done like that either.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Any drug is going to be misused, and it's not really a drug as much as it's a chemical that every living thing produces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's like. And Robbie Robertson was chasing something different than everybody else in that band.
Yeah.
He just happened to find, he's a complicated character, I do believe. And now his clap back to Alex Sulkin, did you see that shit?
Yes, I did.
On Twitter? It's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. I just, that guy that writes for McFarlane, Alex Sulkin,
mm-hmm.
he's a good tweet, he's like mm-hmm. good jokes. He said the band, all the band is like if you put a accordion behind a Civil War documentary.
Oh my God.
Which is not.
It's a funny
song. He's talking about like, one song.
Which is several songs. You could do that about some deep cuts. There's like some of them where they really, they love
like
that accordion.
And it's like that.
Fucking ass.
Yeah.
There's like three or four where you're like, I could see where if you listen to these in a row, you're like, okay, enough. I get it. I get it. The war was complicated on both sides, and someone figured out how to play the accordion. And then fucking Robbie Robertson replied something like some kind of, that's great advice coming from the guy that wrote for the Cleveland Show or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just like a good, easy fucker. You're right, dick jokes for a living.
Yeah. Bob Dylan sought me out.
Yeah.
Have you been sought out by Bob Dylan yet?
The reason that our band is called The Band is because we're the motherfucking best band in the world.
Yeah.
You know who told us that? All the other musicians. Yeah.
That is such a hip hop move to call your band The Band.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, our drummer is a better musician than anybody on the planet. Our drummer.
We got to do the gripe of the week, y'all.
It's the gripe of the week.
It's the gripe of the week. Today we got Josh O'Brien. His gripe of the week is when people put ketchup on steak.
That's a fair one.
It really is, like, because
a Waffle House steak, though, if it's, it depends on the kind of steak. A Waffle House steak needs ketchup.
Well, that's not.
It's not real steak.
I think homie's talking about. I don't think anyone listening when they said steak thought Waffle House steak.
Yeah, if you're paying single digit for the steak.
Yeah, that's
a
not
cooked
a,
steak. It's I not real
we're,
steak.
We're being loose with the term steak at that point. I've never thought about. I never walked into a Waffle House and was like, "They got steak? Do they have steak here?" That's never crossed my mind.
I was actually physically upset when they got rid of their T-bone. I love that T-bone steak.
The paper thin T-bone?
It feels like it's more worth your money because you got to chew it for so long.
It's meat flavored gum.
Yes. You have to chew it for so long so it lasts longer.
That's the drunk bang person for your steak is what that is. It's
Willy Wonka was finally worked it out.
I like it because you can chew it longer than it's steak.
It takes more time. I feel like I'm getting more bang for my buck. I really do.
As someone that worked at a steakhouse, granted it was Outback, but I did learn to prepare steak there as a server. So there is an art to it. And it is disrespectful to who cooked your steak unless you ask for it like well done.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's an art to like it. The cut of meat and then the way you cook it, it's
going
to have a certain consistency and all that. So I think that's a real.
That's a genuinely.
But I think if you're, I guarantee you, if he's at Waffle House and see someone puts ketchup on their steak, he's going to be like, that's a pet peeve of mine. I think he's just going to be like, that makes sense here. That's the way you're doing. I would suggest putting more stuff on that steak here at Waffle House. I think that's why that guy shot all those people.
I violently disagree with you, but
someone ordered a steak. And that guy was like, I'm going to be right back. Steak. I'm going to go take off all my clothes and get this AR-15.
I think Waffle House cooks are the most underpaid people on the earth. They don't get enough respect for how talented they are, and their steaks are fantastic.
No, right. I think that they've made choices to get there.
The skill it takes to be a short order cook at Waffle House, though, the memory skill is unreal. I think we should be dropping them into football games during halftime shows and parachutes. I think the troops are the most annoying people I've ever met in my life. And I think we should be reuniting Waffle House waitresses and cooks with their husbands.
I don't think the troops are as much as the people in charge of the troops.
No, you're wrong. Were you in?
No. Oh, okay, that's fair. You know what? Yeah, I've performed in Tacoma, Washington. I know what you're talking about.
Actually, this is a grape of the week for Mike Baldwin, who we actually mentioned earlier. His grape of the week is, I hate when I'm thirsty, but it's late at night and I'm getting sleepy. I'm basically saying, hey, Mike, I know you want to sleep all night, but I'm going to make sure you have to wake up to pee about every 3 hours.
I agree.
Have you guys you ever do that? It doesn't bother me. I could chug a whole bottle of water and go to bed.
I would say twice a week I have to get up in the middle of the night to pee.
Yeah.
I have to get up like every single night. My whole life I've had to get I like
really?
I have to pee.
You got a little bladder.
I have a little bladder. But I do calculate. I'm like, man, I don't drink like a big glass of water within an hour of going to bed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because are you more afraid that you're going
to
pee?
He's going to get up to pee.
I try to stretch it out as long as possible, even though I have to get up, but I'd like to get the longest chunk of sleep I could get.
I have a problem with eating ice cream right before I go to bed.
Oh, it's so
it's
great,
just
though.
Not
That's
fucking,
the best time to eat it.
I agree, but it's not good as far as like burning it off. It's like the worst time
because all it is
sit there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's also I did it last 3 nights in a row and I've gained like 3 pounds.
Yep.
Like it's like clear. I can feel it. Right. Yeah. Like, if I just ate it like 2 hours earlier, it wouldn't be as bad.
But then you'd probably pass out right now.
Yeah, exactly. But it is like there's nothing more comforting than to finish the day with some ice cream in your bed.
Oh my God.
Fuck you.
That is as good as being a human is.
It's like, people, you want to go drink? No, I have no desire. Like, you want to go out after the show? No, I don't.
I want to eat ice cream in my bed.
If you guys have a joint, I'd rather not smoke it with you. You just give it to me. Yeah. And I go back to my hotel room and smoke it by myself.
Through that window that won't open all the way. It's like 6 inches open. Because they know you specifically might kill yourself. Because
you should if you stay in this room. And you're playing this club.
Do you know all the other windows open all the way, but the ones they rent out to the comedy the comedians don't open all the way.
We gotta put him in 210. he's with the funny bone. And that is not a knock on the funny bone. That was just a fucking
210's the high risk hotel room. Joseph John, his gripe of the week is every girl on every dating app that says her interests are quote unquote laughter and quote hanging out with friends unquote. Like, who the fuck hates laughter? Are you only swiping right for Scooby-Doo villains?
I feel like he's doing the gripe version of what he's complaining about.
Yep.
Which is like he's complaining about people being boring and generic, but he's complaining about it in a boring, generic way.
I'm with you. Also, he put hashtag Team Carmen on a post, so he's dead to me.
Yeah, it does sound like he does want someone to touch his penis. Yeah. He's not going about it in the right way. That's what a lot of it is.
Also, I feel like a lot of people are like, these girls don't even like laughter. It's like, yeah, maybe they don't like a Doug Stanhope ripoff, like, rape AIDS joke.
Yeah.
That you, like, open up with.
You
like,
probably girls don't have they like the laughter. Timing or...
I don't think he's complaining about them liking laughter. He's just saying, like, but who doesn't like laughter? Like, that's not telling it. That's not telling what I was saying.
Yeah, he's just complaining about boring.
I was moving on to a different argument. Oh, okay. That wasn't about him at all.
Oh, okay.
That was just about people who are always talking about how girls don't like me. I have a sense of humor. And it's like, well, are you saying, like, the gnarliest thing out the gate?
Yeah. And also, it's like, it's like that, oh, she's hot, but she's, like, funny. You know what I mean? It's like hot girls that are like, I like funny because, like, I'm pretty funny. It's like, no, people laugh at you because they want you to like them because you look. It's like athletes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's one of my, like, Peyton Manning. Everybody's like, isn't he funny? I'm like, no, he's not.
He's not funny at all.
He's hot girl funny.
Yes.
Because everyone likes him because he's good at the one thing. So they're like, Peyton.
He's so funny.
He's like, he's not completely retarded, so he's funny
like his brother.
Yes, who's probably actually funny.
From
what I understand, Eli's like a real person who likes to party and stuff. He seems like fun. Peyton does. I've never, and this drives people, this blows people away. I'm from 45 minutes from Knoxville, Tennessee. Peyton was the quarterback during my high school. I'm not a Peyton Manning fan. I wasn't a Peyton Manning fan. I'm a Tennessee fan. Mm-hmm. Never been a Peyton fan. I was like a Brandon Stewart fan, who was the other quarterback.
Wow. Yeah.
And I still am. And you know who I'm a big fan of?
Still a Brandon Stewart fan.
Fuck Peyton Manning.
Brandon Stewart.
You know who I'm a bigger fan of? T. Martin, who won us a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
And my favorite part about T. Martin is they named a road after fucking Peyton. And then T. Martin won a fucking national championship the next year. And everybody's like, you want to give one to the black kid that won us a national championship? And they finally did. And it's a dead end fucking road.
Oh,
that's so rude.
It may not be now because of expansion, but for the longest time,
Jesus.
It's not in the middle of the campus called Peyton Manning Pass or whatever. It's T. Martin Way, and it ends to a fucking dead road.
I don't know why I'm surprised.
I don't either, but I love making it fucking known.
Yeah.
Oh, Peyton. No, Peyton cared about Peyton. He never gave a fuck about the University of Tennessee. That's why there's no national championships, and he broke every fucking individual record. Mm-hmm. Fuck that motherfucker.
I'm with you on that.
I like his dad, though. Man, his dad, real good dude.
Did you really?
Yeah, Archie's Archie? Cool as shit. Yeah, I went on a recruiting visit. I was pretty good at football, but I realized...
You went on, like, a recruiting visit to where?
Tennessee and Auburn.
Wow.
I never had a shot at playing for them. I mean, I might have.
Did you play college ball?
No, I played college baseball, but I played... I could have played football, but, like, I saw how hard they hit each other and was like, oh, this is like the best players in high school all play on the same teams. So you're just going to get hit hard every play.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck this. I like baseball practice, and baseball games are even funner. Where
did you play baseball?
I played at a junior college before I realized, like,
you were funny.
Yeah, and I probably could have played professionally on some level. because I was like, I had the skills and the intelligence. It's just, they play every day. For the rest of their life. For the rest of their life. It's every single, like, and I have friends that went far, you know, like play AAA. I have a couple of friends that played in the bigs for a little bit. And I don't mean this mean, but they don't know much else but baseball, because that's all they've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, one friend, he's traveled the world playing in different leagues professionally. He's like, he lived in Austria. I was like, dude, what the fuck is living in Austria like? He's like, they have some good fields. That's all he saw. The baseball fields. He's been all around. Like, that girl was just like, oh, I picked the right. I was like, it was hard on me at the time because that's all I wanted to do. And then it was like this realization, like, you don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Which is like a hard thing. And even at the beginning, I didn't realize that's what it was. I just knew, like, this isn't right. This isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I toured the world in punk bands, and people will be like, what, you know, what is Austria like? And I'm like, oh, the EKH squat is one of the best squats I've ever been
to. Yeah.
You know, like, I can tell you about all the big squats they had all over Europe and which ones are my favorite.
It's the same thing with like comedy clubs, because we were talking about the South, and I was like, I think it's way more progressive than you think. And you're bitch, leave a comedy club.
Yeah. Maybe.
It wasn't just me, it was also Canadian. And you doubled down.
Yeah. Well, there's, to me, the best places on earth are southern big university towns.
Yes.
Because
I lived in Athens for a while.
Like Athens. Yeah. Durham Chapel Hill is a really cool
area. The
Research
Triangle.
Oxford.
Gainesville. Eh, I like Gainesville.
It's but yes. If you're comparing it with every other place in Florida, Gainesville's probably like, hey!
Look, Gainesville's we're not that bad.
Gainesville's, hey! Yeah. Tom Petty, remember? And everybody's like, okay, that's fine. You got it. Okay.
St. Augustine, too, is nice.
But it's its own kind of weird.
Yeah.
It is a dark. There's a darkness in St. Augustine. They do not advertise until you go there.
Yeah.
And then you look around and you're like, this is weird. And they're like, yeah, we don't tell people about it. Yeah. There's water over there that like, make you young. Old
city. There's water over there that makes you younger.
Don't talk about this. It's like when you go to Humboldt, you're like, oh, there are other drugs here too besides pot. You guys got
Eureka
the bad ones.
It's all one big meth arson insurance fire.
It is just, yes. Oh, you guys don't brag about the meth you have here either.
Last time I was in Eureka, I saw two people screaming at each other, chasing a loaded shopping cart that was on fire.
Yep.
There was a bunch of shit in the shopping cart. I couldn't tell what it was. It was on fire. And two people were arguing, trying to grab the shopping cart. And I was like, I could live here.
Yeah. I love it. I want to buy a farm on the mountain there.
Yep.
I mean, that's not a joke. It's just, there's a spirit. There's, because I've traveled so much.
So outlaw. There's no cops. Everything's handled amongst people.
And that's good and bad. But it's like, as someone that I've traveled so much, you guys realize this too, is like a lot of the country is homogenized. It's like, it's just this capitalistic.
It's like a military base.
Bad. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, it's like there's a few places that are like still its own thing. Like New Orleans is cool. Mm-hmm. Atlanta has its, like, there's some really cool original places.
Chicago, I'd put on there.
Yes, totally. Chicago is its own fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And Humboldt is one of the few because you have to want to get there. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's fucking windy roads. It's just
weird road.
Yeah, or the 101, and you're next to a fucking. Yeah, like, I've watched part of the interstate fall off on the 101.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That happens near the bay on the 101 a lot.
Yeah.
Pacifica.
Like, because
it'll just crumble.
Because it's still still becoming part of the coast. The coast is still making the coast. It's like the thing, I don't like the Grand Canyon, because you go there. First of all, you can't see it driving into it. It sneaks up on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird to begin with.
The biggest hole.
Yeah, in the world.
You can't see it. It's hidden.
It sneaks up on you. Also, high winds. There's just fucking high winds. Mm-hmm. And the fattest Americans in the country just waddling around on top of a fucking hole.
That's crumbling. That's
crumbling. It is getting grander as we speak. That's what's happening.
Erosion's,
I stayed for 40 minutes and was like, I'm getting my family the fuck out of here. Because every evolution thing is going off where it's like, oh, this is all the danger in one fucking thing. And my job as a parent and husband is get these people out of here.
This living expanding.
It's just
hole.
Alarms going off.
That's what Hollywood should do to families. With you know when you see like tourism and you see little families, cute families walking around Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah,
you're like, why aren't they getting the fuck out of here as fast as possible? Spider-Man on meth is about to rob you. Get the fuck
get out of
that's
here.
How I took my grandmother to yeah. Hollywood Boulevard down there. Yeah. Like I was like, you want to see? She goes, you know, the Grumman Theater, and
yeah, yeah. That's it.
Like, this is gross. And then she went to like take it. I was like, do not touch Spider-Man. She's like, and she turned around. She's like, he did smell really bad. I was like, yeah, this is not a.
It's not.
She's like, this is disgusting. Let's go back to your house. Like,
mm-hmm. Let's go to Pasadena.
God damn, this was fun.
Gripe of the week. Steak. Kitchen steak. Ketchup steak.
Ketchup steak.
He's right. He's right. Respect.
Yeah. Josh O'Brien, you got gripe of the week, baby. Guys, subscribe. Tell other people about us. Leave us a nice little review on iTunes. Contact us. Billy, tell everybody where to find you on the internet.
At Billy Wayne Davis on anything. Just Google Billy Wayne Davis. All that stuff comes up.
Billy so. At Billy Wayne Davis. And
Instagram's probably the most fun I have. So go on there. Like Twitter.
It is the most Instagram, fun one, period.
Yeah, everything else can go to hell.
Yeah, pretty Twitter much. Is like real streaky. Sometimes I'm like, I'm all about it. I'm pretty funny. But most of the time it's just promoting stuff so people come.
So Instagram at Billy Wayne Davis, at No Sir Pod for us, nosirpod@gmail.com, at The Funny Carmen for me, at Brian J. Vokey for Brian J. Vokey. And thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.